You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify and Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Themes, here by myself for a quick second. We hosted a Spotify Green Room on Thursday morning around 11 a.m. and that's what today's episode is going to consist of. We talked about a little bit more about the Scherzer situation. We talked about the upcoming series with the Giants. We talked a little bit about the Padres and just some other Dodger things. And yeah, make sure to download Spotify Green Room app if you haven't already done so. Join us every week. Get in on the action and get in on the conversation. But before all that, before we get into the Green Room, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Dodgers. One note, the Giants did win on Thursday when the Dodgers were off. So the Dodgers and Giants will head into the weekend series tied. 85 wins, 49 losses. So big series. One team's going to come out either three games ahead or one game ahead after this weekend series. So we'll see what happens there. And now let's get into the Green Room. One quick note on the audio. Jeff was stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire, so you may hear cars passing by in the background. We apologize if this causes any inconvenience, and we hope that you still stick around and enjoy the episode. All right, here we go.
Game last night was fun. Like, it was a cool atmosphere. The fact, just the way the games timed out, and so it reminded me a little bit of 2016. You remember, whole bunch of scoreboard watching. It was a little bit different then because it was to clinch the division, and it was a foregone conclusion that the Dodgers were going to clinch. It was just a question of when. And we had that Saturday game where it was Vin Scully tribute night or whatever. And I was there at that game. And if the Padres had lost that night, then the Dodgers would have clinched. And so we're kind of watching the scoreboard for the Padres score. And it didn't work out that night, but then you have the next day with Vin Scully's last game, the Culberson home run and everything, and the Dodgers coming back and tying the game late on the, what was something by Corey Seager. I don't know if it was a homer or a double or to send it to extra innings. And then Culberson's home run just before the Padres lost, you know, like that's what it kind of reminded me of last night, just the scoreboard watching, you know, we're all kind of the out of town scoreboard out in right field is notoriously slow on the updates. And so, you know, we'd see like, okay, oh, the Brewers have second and third and two outs, so, you know, and then like pull up the, oh, that inning's been over for a while, you know, and, but we ended up, I was sitting next to Ernie, our buddy Dip Truck on Twitter, and we ended up pulling up the Giants game on his phone. And so we're watching that during the top of the ninth inning when Joe Kelly was on to get the save. And so it was kind of wild rooting for, you know, having two different games going on at once that you actually cared what happened. Obviously care more about the Dodger game, but you know, it was pretty exciting and kind of cool to see, to be able to experience that with other fans. And even after the game, you know, because the Giants Brewers game was still going when the Dodger game ended, and a lot of people kind of, you could see just kind of staying in their seats, looking at their phones and stuff. And then there was an audible roar at Dodger Stadium, you know, 10 or 15 minutes after the game ended, when the Giants game ended, and we realized we are in first place by a half game. Like there was a lot of people who stuck around at Dodger Stadium just to, I kind of wish they had put up the Giants game on the big screen. Obviously I don't think they wanted to encourage people to stick around because people have their jobs to do to get the stadium ready for other things. But yeah, it was a fun shared experience with other Dodger fans.
I had a random seat. I just went to the game by myself. So I was just kind of wandering, finding the standing room areas, and toward the end of the game, I think from like the sixth inning on, I was in Loge on the first base side, and there was a couple guys right there that had the game on their phone, and you know, I'd been checking it obviously too, so they would give updates every inning, and everyone in the section would cheer for the most part, I think, because the seventh inning is when the Brewers took the lead. So It's fun, and you know, just kind of, I guess, fun to have a pennant race in 2018. It didn't feel as fun just because the Dodgers were more annoying and not as good. Like this year's team, we've talked about it, how they might be more frustrating, but the fact of the matter is that they've been like 30 games over 500 for the majority of the second half of the season, or right there, and they've been around the best record or the best record besides the Giants until yesterday. So for me, this season has been a little bit more fun that it's a pennant race, that it's the Giants. Now they head to San Francisco and have a chance to, you know, keep putting them down. I just saw that Wilmer Flores went on the IL, and the Dodgers are starting Price and Julio. So that's a good thing for the Dodgers that they won't have to face him, because he does very well against them and against left-handers in general.
Yeah, it's a weird world where we have to be excited that Wilmer Flores isn't available, but whatever, that's the weird world the Giants are living in this year. And so, you know, yeah, obviously, you know, the Giants have had COVID issues. You know, it's a bummer that Alex Wood has COVID, obviously, and you'd rather beat another team at full strength, but you know, assuming everybody's long-term health is fine, I don't really care what strength of Giants team the Dodgers beat, you know, like, it's who's on the schedule right now, and that's who they're going to play and when they're going to play them. And the Dodgers have had so much bad luck health wise this year that, I don't mind getting a little bit of good luck, even if it's at the expense of the other team's health.
Yeah. It's also one of those series too, where, you know, the Webb is pitching today. So the Dodgers aren't going to face the Giants' best starter at the moment. Gausman, who the Dodgers have done well against this year, but is still pretty good, he pitched yesterday, so they're not going to face him. So everything's kind of lining up for the Dodgers to take advantage, and you're just hoping that they do take advantage, at least win those series, hopefully sweep, and you know, just enjoy first place the rest of the month of September.
Yeah, absolutely. A sweep would be awesome. You know, worst case scenario, then they're up by 3 games. But yeah, at this point, you'll just take a series win. Just add a game to the lead. But yeah, I mean, a sweep would be awesome. And the Giants right now are kind of in the boat the Dodgers have been in. They only really have 3 starters. And like you said, their 2 best ones we're not going to see. So it's probably going to pull bullpen games or makeshift bullpen games, or at least, you know, games where you would hope that if the Dodgers offense shows up, you know, they've already taken care of Discofani a couple times. He's struggled his last couple times out, performance-wise and health-wise. And so, you know, all in all, it's one of those series where you go in thinking, wow, a sweep is not really a far-fetched possibility at all, which, of course, means that it's going to be 3 close games, and they're going to have to battle just to win 2 of them. But, you know, going into it, it would be really nice. I'm interested to see how Mookie Betts does. Having a 4-strikeout game yesterday was so out of character for him, especially that last one where it's like, you know, Mookie Betts, the one thing you know about him, it was a kind of at bat. I was joking with Ernie while we were watching the game. If it was Chris Taylor or Cody Bellinger or somebody like that who struck out in that situation, Mookie Betts did, Twitter would have just been exploding with, oh, these idiots swinging for the fences when all you need is contact. But Mookie, for whatever reason, gets the benefit of the doubt, because obviously he and Chris Taylor and Cody Bellinger and every other player knows in that situation with Trey Turner on 3rd and 1 out, you put the ball in play, the run gets in. You know, sometimes the pitcher just wins, but you don't really see Mookie get beat like that 4 times in 1 game very often. And so I'm interested to see what, if there's any carryover from that on Friday, or if he can bounce back and, you know, because he's looked pretty good the couple games before that. And so hopefully it was just, all right, let's get all my strikeouts for the month of September out of the way in one inning, one game, and just dominate the rest of the way.
Yeah, it seemed a little anxious at the plate that last at bat. I think there might have been 1 real strike thrown that whole at bat, and he swung at 3 or 4 of them. Like, yeah, 4 pitches he swung at because he fouled one off. So, yeah, a little bit uncharacteristic, but, you know, everyone else picked him up after that, so.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar. We've said it countless times, and it's still true. It still rings true today. I've yet to try a protein bar that tasted better than Built Bar. And it's hard to even beat Built Bar's macros. They're also healthy. They all have 17, 18 grams of protein, under 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams sugar, 4 to 5 gram net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy, everything good for you. like I said, a lot of different flavors. You can try one. You can try them all in a mixed box. You can pick three, up to three, and have them all sent to you. Whatever you want to do, go to built.com, build your box, get it sent to you, and start enjoying the best tasting protein bars in the world. Not only are the best protein bars in the world, but they're also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
What's up, Justin? It's been a while since I believe the word I used on Twitter talking to you was insane. So I'm glad you showed up to this green room anyway after I called you insane.
I probably missed that, Jeff. So I don't know. We'll have to check the tag, or I'll have to check the mentions. But no, as far as like, yeah, I know we were direct messaging last night and some stuff. And I was definitely in the camp that had a lot of questions. And yeah, after it comes out that it was, hey, this was something that was bugging him early on, and, you know, he toughed it out and was able to, you know, to provide six awesome innings, and obviously out of precaution, they took him out. It makes perfect sense. However, at the time, everybody had questions. You go, if you listen to the broadcast, Joe and Oral had no clue. They're trying to figure it out too. And if you think about it, it's because he was so dominant. It was, you know, they're talking about it was his highest swing and miss game of the season. And it's one of these things, like if somebody's, you know, yeah, they don't have their best stuff, but they're doing okay. And maybe the reliever, you're like, well, okay, there's a drop off here. And, oh man, it would have been nice if this guy could have kept going even without his best stuff, but it didn't work out. But I think the big question mark was, this guy is as dominant as he's been all year. What happened? He must be hurt. But then everybody started thinking too, well, we wouldn't be surprised if this was Dave just being Dave. And so that's where the confusion and the concern came in. And I was definitely in the camp hoping that it was maybe a strange decision versus a serious injury. But Vince addressed it too already. So that's kind of all I'll say about that.
Yeah, and like I said, I haven't had a chance to listen to what Vince said, so maybe this will be a repeat. But for me, everybody jumping, like, somebody told me on Twitter, like, well, you know, Dave's done stuff like that before. He pulled Rich Hill throwing a perfect game. And I'm like, okay, when Rich Hill was throwing his perfect game in Miami, he had thrown 89 pitches through seven innings. His second start after the injured list, it was the most pitches he had thrown in a game in 2 months. So there was no way he was going to complete that game. So once you decide, okay, he's not throwing his complete game, well, we might as well do what's best for the team to win the game. Like, there's no similarity between the Rich Hill and Miami game and pulling Max Scherzer after 76 pitches with a shortened bullpen. And so for me, like, it was so obvious, like, that there must be some health-related reason that it baffled me how quick everybody went. And, you know, and then people say, well, the fact that we even had to go there just tells you all you need to know about Dave Roberts. No, it tells you all you need to know about you, that you think Dave Roberts is an idiot, despite the fact that we have, you know, 6 years of evidence now of 100 win per season pace that, you know what, the guy's a pretty decent manager, and he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but pulling Max Scherzer after 76 pitches is so far beyond anything Dave Roberts has actually done. Even the bad decisions, the ones that we can all agree were bad decisions, wouldn't even compare to pulling Max Scherzer after 76 pitches with a short bullpen. And so for me, it was just obvious. Okay, well, I'm going to wait till after the game and find out why, because obviously there's a good reason.
Yeah, the main point I made was just like, in other years, maybe you could justify it, but in this year, he's let Walker Buehler go over 100 a lot. He's let Scherzer go over 100 since he's been here pretty much every time other than the rain-shortened game. Dave Roberts has kind of learned, and I don't know if it's analytics thing on his side or maybe just him, but they've let the horses ride this year. Even Kershaw got to go over 100 a few times earlier in the year. So that just seemed way too odd with short bullpen. Like, with all the context clues, I thought people were going pretty wild.
Well, even Bauer too, Vince. I mean, mentioned him on the episode, but he would be the number one example of riding these guys out, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He went over 110 a bunch of times.
Yeah, I think we might have seen a complete game last night if not for the hamstring, because, you know, Scherzer, 76 pitches through six innings. That's what, less, just under 13 per inning, which puts you at, what, 110-ish, under, you know, somewhere 110 for a complete game. You know, I think Dave Roberts would have loved to let him go for a complete game. And so, yeah, it was comical to me. I was actually laughing at the game, looking at Twitter, talking with Ernie. I'm like, it's so funny to see these overreactions when obviously there's a good explanation. Because like, you know, it's amazing to me that people think Dave Roberts is that bad a manager that they jump straight to he made the worst, most inexplicable move ever just because he's bad, when, you know, he's never done anything approaching that. So.
Which I would have been fine with if it was just fans, but it was a lot more than just fans. So it was just like, all right, let's chill out a little bit.
I know the for pitching, I think they've got Julio on Friday and Price on Friday and Julio on Saturday. And it's kind of open for Sunday. Do you have any comments on the pitching coming into the weekend?
Yeah, I think it's pretty set in stone for Sunday, too. I think it's Buehler. So,
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, they've got two of their three actual starters going. They're using this off day to say, okay, we don't need a fifth starter this time. And so, you know, hopefully David Price obviously didn't have a great outing last time. Hopefully he's pretty well rested because he had a shortened outing. It would be really nice to see Price give them five or six solid innings. But, you know, with last night's game, even though they had to use four relievers, didn't have to use any of them a ton. And then today's off day, you know, they're going into this Price game with a pretty well-rested bullpen, but obviously not well-rested enough for him to go three innings again. But, you know, hopefully the actual bullpen games are behind us, and we're looking at, you know, a David Price five- or six-inning start. Even if, like, for me, even Price's last start, I would have preferred to have him stay in the game. Like, so even if he's not pitching great, like, I want them to get five or six innings out of Price, even if he gives up four or five runs. You know, trust the offense to get it done. You know, it is against DeSclafani, who's, you know, the best pitcher they'll face in this series probably. But, you know, hopefully the offense can get it done and get some runs, because you'd like to see David Price. I was talking on the radio with the Fresno radio station just before we did this. You know, and this is, we're kind of seeing how the other half lives, because the Dodgers have been spoiled the last several years of not really having a number five starter all that often. It's like, okay, we've got two number ones and then a number three. And then we've got like some guys with potential to be future number twos who are, you know, serving as our fourth and fifth starters. You know, when Dustin May is your fifth starter, it's like, it's a luxury. But most teams actually have a guy as their fifth starter who isn't great and isn't going to win a lot of games, but he goes out there and he gives you five or six innings and, you know, hopefully holds the other team down enough that you have a decent chance to be in the game at least. And that's kind of where the Dodgers are at with David Price right now. It's like, he's not Cy Young Award winner David Price anymore, but he should be solid enough to give a decent performance and keep them in the game at least.
At the very least, they have Julio and Buehler going this weekend. Price is a mixed bag at this point, but with the rested bullpen, like you mentioned, it all kind of works out.
It's that time of year again. October is upon us and the pennant races are on, but it's also that time of year as some people who are fans of teams that aren't that good turn their eyes to football as teams get the gridiron back to start the football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests at BetOnline. They have right now online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, both open now at BetOnline. Hit there on your laptop or mobile device, sign up today, and get a welcome bonus. You can also take advantage of their opening day super promo where you can get refunded up to $25 on any bet you lose in the game between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys on September 9th. Use the promo code NFL100 and new customers can be part of that super promo. From baseball, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casinos, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let me paint a picture for you. You're watching the Dodger game live on your TV. You got your iPad open, maybe having another show or something else on, maybe a different sport. You have your phone watching highlights or updates of the Giants game, since you want to keep track of that. And your neighbor's best friend's login has the good stuff on another device. Well, there's an easy and simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite movies and TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more right now at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
But I guess that might be one segue real quick into a quick conversation is, I guess just like Phil Bakeford, Alex Vesia, they're guys that have some kind of track record now this season, but not a track record in the majors for sustained seasons. And we've seen each of them give up a home run in recent appearances. Has that deterred your confidence in them at all, Jeff?
It hasn't really. If anything, it's reminded us that they're human. And I don't know, in some weird way, the fact that Alex Vesia has been as dominant as he has been, despite actually being a human being, maybe helps a little bit. You'd rather have him face this adversity in early September than in October. And so kind of a bring him back to earth moment a little bit is maybe a good thing. Just kind of reminding him, you still got to make your pitches every time, all that stuff. So it doesn't concern me. Everybody gives up home runs in a once in a while. I was more concerned with Gratterall because it was the walk or hit before the home run, and then he gave up a couple more hits after the home run. And, stringing hits together and not missing bats, I'll take an occasional solo home run like Vesia gave up. As long as he still mostly misses bats, doesn't give up many other hits, because home runs are going to happen. And, that's where you just trust your offense to keep him in the game. I was more concerned with Gratterall.
Yeah, Gratterall's been concerning, and he's one who's not – I don't think he's one of those that's going to be guaranteed playoff spot, especially if they get back Gonsolin and he's effective. They get back Kershaw, they get Danny Duffy. He's one that's on the bubble already, and he's not pitching himself into that bubble. He's pitching himself out of that bubble. And I feel kind of the same. I honestly would probably feel – let's say Vesia had went on some crazy tear, ended up not allowing – runs the rest of this month in 10, 15 appearances or whatever it was. I'd feel a lot more scared if that was the case than if he had allowed a couple runs here and there or things like that, just for safety's sake. And I think the thing I touched on last night is I couldn't find the stat. I can't remember who brought it up, but he has a high number of whiffs on pitches that are fastballs down the middle, which is probably because the way he throws, the way he comes at you, and it's a little bit different. And he has some run on his fastball. Yesterday, the pitch to Swanson was basically down the middle, so didn't miss that one. But I saw somebody say that he had a little bit less run. So maybe it was just an off day for him. And then Bickford the same the other day. I mean, both home runs were – Dansby Swanson's a guy who I've seen him a lot in the last few weeks when they played the Giants, and now when they played us. He's come up in key spots and not come through. So I wasn't really expecting him to deliver the home run. So it's just one of those where it just happened to be a bad pitch. So I'm comfortable with them. Yeah, Gratterall, as much as we love him, it's kind of been, I wouldn't say a lost year, but it seems like a lost year. He came into camp seemingly either because of COVID or because of other reasons, wasn't in shape, took him a while to get into shape, then was in AAA. Even when the Dodgers were going through relievers like no other, he stayed in AAA for a majority of the time. Then he'd come up here and there. He's come up here the second half of the season, and he's had some moments, but he's also hasn't really put it together, hasn't been able to find that pitch mix, and I don't think he's going to be pitching in October unless some injuries happen.
Yeah, and, he's got to figure out a way to miss bats, and whether that's changing his delivery so he has more extension, so his 101 actually feels like 101, or whatever it is, it's – yeah, he's not a guy. And, I was a little bit – frustrated when they did take Scherzer out last night that they went to Gratterol. But thinking about it more, you know, if you know, okay, here's the four relievers we're going to try to get through these three innings with, you know, a 2-0 lead in the sixth inning was actually the lowest leverage situation they had. So it's like, if Gratterol's one of the four, I guess this makes sense when to use him. And, you know, 8 or 9 times out of 10, he's going to get through that inning with the lead. So the fact that he blew it, you know, maybe it's just a little bit of hindsight. But yeah, you know, we've talked about this in the past with Blake Treinen before he, you know, got dominant again, different guys that you got to miss bats. And especially when you throw a 101 and have it as good a slider as he does, he's got, whether it's pitch sequencing or changing his delivery, whatever, but Brusdar Gratterol has to start missing bats. Joe, I see you came off mute. You got something you want to say?
Yeah, I've been thinking about San Diego and their free fall from, you know, the top of the division.
Are you smiling while you think about it?
Yes, a lot. But now I'm kind of frowning because I want them to stay relevant, at least in the wild card race, because they got to play the Giants 10 more times this month. And they need to be motivated to knock off the Giants, because if they fall out of the wild card race, what motivation do they have to beat the Giants?
Absolutely. And I've actually, for that exact reason, I've been kind of pleased that the Reds have struggled a little bit lately, too. So right now, like, the Padres are only half a game out of that second wild card spot, because, yeah, we do need a motivated Padres team, especially with, you know, the Giants dealing with health issues right now. You know, hopefully the Padres can be motivated. You know, it's always been a little bit of a Padres Giants have had a little bit of a rivalry anyway, and at least from the Padres perspective. So hopefully those are 10 games that the Padres can get up for and, you know, at least win 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, if they could split, that'd be ideal for us.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the wild card race, the Phillies and Cardinals are right now in the thick of it as well. They're 2.5 back of the Reds, 2 back of the Padres. So it's now becoming a little bit of a race. Even the Mets, outside chance, 5.5 there. Us, you know, the Dodgers sweeping the Braves kind of helped everyone else in the East out. And I think they'll realize, and maybe this final month they'll get their emotions back, and they'll get some good feelings back and start playing like they were. They still play the Dodgers 6 times, but it's a little less concerning to me just knowing how the matchups are than them playing the Giants, especially if the Giants have some of these injuries and other things that have kind of piled up on them here in the last week or so. So, yeah, it's going to be – there's still a long way to go, and that's the crazy part is what feels good to be in first place now and everything else, but there's still a long way to go. Even 30 games, it doesn't seem like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but now when it's just 30 games left, it does feel like a lot.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping that they leave the weekend 3.5 games up.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah, I had a question related to or a comment related to Mookie Betts. I know we're all really happy how he's moving. He looks like he's moving really well. He looks comfortable. So whatever they did, therapy and resting him, it's done the job for now. And I know we're hoping he doesn't have any flare ups with the injury. But based on what I've heard about the injury, or it was a hip inflammation, or what was it, a hip, a bone spur, is that something where, again, we're hoping it doesn't flare up, but it seems like it's something that doesn't just go away. Would you expect that if hopefully he stays healthy, makes it through the rest of the season, contributes well, that there might be some possible surgery in order over the offseason?
At this point, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't have surgery of some sort in the offseason. You know, the tricky part with bone spurs is, unless you know what caused the bone spurs, it's hard to really know what the solution is, you know, because there's a surgery to shave off the bone spurs and to take care of that. But if there's an underlying condition that caused the bone spurs, that changes things a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air, but yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have surgery of some sort.
I would imagine that it's not just going to be a rest thing, because right now it's kind of cortisone and rest are a combination of why he's feeling so good, but I don't think that's, you know, you're not supposed to get that many cortisone injections in a certain time period.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe Locked On Dodgers. If you're not already doing so, make sure to tell your friends, family, coworkers, other Dodger fans in your life about Locked On Dodgers. The Dodgers head into the weekend as first place in the NL West, tied with the Giants. And it's a good time for you to help us out and tell people about us. So go ahead and do that. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.